The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Is the government hiding information from us? Well, that's probably the stupidest question I could ask, but more specifically, are they hiding information about UFOs and extraterrestrial life? This week the meat sacks dive into disclosure, who is hiding what, how long have they known, can robots join the space force? We put it all under the microscope, or telescope this week on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that knows for a fact disclosure is coming soon, because why else would we need a space force? This is Hysteria 51.
Very importantly, I'm hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a space force as the sixth branch of the armed forces.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and head Space Force recruiters, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
Young people from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part too.
They're doing their part. Are you? Join the
Space Force
and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship.
Now, Brent, our topic this week is somewhat timely, as President Trump just announced he'd like Congress to approve the expansion of the military and the establishment of a space force.
Space force. Space force. Space, space is a war-fighting domain, just like the land, the air, and sea. We have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Space Force. My new national strategy could be Space Force.
Which begs the most important question, John. Is Casper Van Dien automatically drafted into the service? And if so, does Doogie Howser come with him?
Join the mobile infantry and see if you've got what it takes to be a citizen. See you on that bounce, trooper.
No. The only people automatically drafted into service are those kids from the other countries the government is holding in detention facilities.
Silly me. Videos of them crying aren't their sadness from being separated from their families and kept in cages, or child actors, as Ann Coulter literally called them today. It's just the kids that wanted to be space pilots but got selected for mobile infantry. I get it now. It makes sense.
I'm glad you're clear on this. And don't forget, service guarantees citizenship.
That's right.
Would you like to know more?
Think they'd take me in the Space Force?
I don't think so, buddy. That other voice is the third host of the show and first member we'd all like to launch into space, Conspiracy Bot. Seabot's a robot I built in my lab to help produce, research, and edit the show. And unfortunately, the only thing he produces is trash. The only research he does is at the bottom of a bottle, and he doesn't edit anything, including his own mouth, John.
Why the hell would I?
Seabot, calm down. We have a surprise for you. Your favorite guest is back on the program.
No. I need a drink.
Welcome back for the last time, and also the first time in a long time.
Yeah, we took pity.
Yeah, he Mr. Just... Joseph Peck.
Pecker.
His name is Pecker.
I felt bad. He just stands outside of my house. So.
False.
Brent, spreading disinformation again.
Well, it's like I work for the government.
Who begged me to be on?
Fake news.
Who begged me to be back?
I think my wife, because she was sick of just John and I here week after week.
Well, that's a fact.
And the people,
let's just go ahead and give a call out. And by let's, I mean me. Go ahead and give a call out to all of you raging fans out there who have been crying.
The peckerheads out there.
There has been a low-level clamoring requesting a slight presence by Joe Peck. I will regretfully and reluctantly admit it.
I will agree with you on that if by low you mean high.
Agree to disagree. So, Joe, we brought you here because you just disclosed everything to us. We thought this would be the perfect episode.
Well, I'll tell you what I mainly disclose is when you said we were going to talk about disclosure, my thought was, and I went and rewatched the movie last night, was the Demi Moore Michael Douglas vehicle, which has the most disappointing love scene of all time because it was Demi Moore at her hottest. And it was brief, and they showed nothing.
Obviously, you've never seen pictures from John's quinceañera. That's the that was the most disappointing love scene I've ever seen.
Wait, is that a film?
Well, it was burned, but we have a few stills.
If that's not a movie, we should create one just based around the title, John's quinceañera.
Yeah, his dress was breathtaking.
Hold on, I set up C-Bot to give a response for me whenever Brent goes off the deep end. C-Bot?
Lick, lick, lick my balls!
Thank you.
Perfection.
Thank you. Well, Joe, we are going to talk Disclosure this week. And next week, if you'll be kind enough to join us.
Yeah. So that's a twofer.
We'll see.
That's what they call it in the biz.
To all the Joe Peck fans out there, come meet us at James Joyce Bar and Grill in Berwyn, Illinois.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Well, those of you that are remote viewing through time and or if you're John Titor and have some sort of time travel or time manipulation device.
Yeah.
Or if you know some of these aliens we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. Or if you just stalk us. Yeah.
And just so you know, I've been continuing my research into time travel last week, so I'll probably have a report to you imminently in 1982.
Yeah.
So, guys, obviously, Disclosure is a big one. I mean, it's so big, we decided to actually do one of our rare two-parters.
It's funny because this is one of those topics that has been on our list to do, and we keep pushing it back and pushing it back because it's such a big one. And I'm glad
like the U.S. government.
Ooh.
So I'm glad that we pushing it back. I'm glad that we waited until now because we've kind of gotten some episodes on our belts and kind of formed opinions. Maybe not the exact opinions everyone thinks we're going to have to. We might throw them for a loop
here. A curveball, if you will.
Yeah.
That's a sports reference, Brent.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, you know, I watch a lot of High Life.
Well, it is World Cup season, so it's appropriate.
So today we're going to take you through the history of UFOs in the U.S. as it relates to the government.
Yeah, that's this episode.
And they might have not. You're going to be shocked by this. They might not have been as completely transparent and upfront as they should have been.
I'm calling horse crap on that right now. I
actually have a little proof. We'll get to it later.
If there's anyone who's ever been transparent, it's Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, grabbed by the pussy.
Oh, you guys are silly. Like the president knows about this. That's a temporary employee.
It's what they told Clinton. That's above your pay grade, or that's above your knowledge level, whatever you want to call
it. Let's genuinely now, politics aside, let's just really quick, like,
Bush Senior knew.
Well, Bush Senior knew because he freaking ran the CIA, and
Bush
probably,
Senior flew that shit.
I'm pretty sure he killed aliens. Yeah. Like that dude was a badass.
According to legend, that's the place that story began. Yeah. Is Carter went to the CIA and said, "I want full disclosure right now," because he's a believer in extraterrestrial beings, and he said, "You are a temporary employee."
Yes, but seriously, politics aside, like, We know that Carter was involved. There's a lot of evidence that Nixon wanted to know about these things.
We all know the stories
about Clinton, but again, politics aside, are the NSA, the CIA, the powers that be right now, are they like, my God, we had this inkling that we should probably not tell the president about these things, and Trump with his tweets, again, I'm not knocking him, I'm just saying, are they like, we've been right all along. That guy would have tweeted everything.
Yeah, he's on there. He's like, we have the best technology. It's huge.
It's huge. It's alien technology. Russia doesn't have alien technology.
Their hands are so tiny next to mine. Yeah.
All right. So, but anyway, that's what we're going to do in part one. We're going to go through the history. In part two, we're going to take a look at present day. Who are some of the players looking for disclosure? And based on some of the info we have, is it imminent?
Yeah. Or Michael Crichton is looking for disclosure.
That's exactly right. Or is everything just a big ruse by the government to throw us off the scent? But first, Brent, let's define disclosure.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty simple premise, you know? All of this UFO and alien stuff is real, or at least a portion, and the government either knows about it or has a hand in it. That would be disclosure, you know? It will be the act of them revealing the secret or secrets to the world, to us, to the sheeple out there. Also, important to note, we title this episode UFO Disclosure. UFOs, as you all know, and we kind of preach this to you, aren't necessarily extraterrestrials, just objects that haven't been identified, unidentified flying objects.
And that's...
Please keep that, you know, that's an important distinction.
That's one of the things about disclosure. Disclosure does not necessarily mean...
Hey, world! Developed this in the 60s.
We have a bunch of aliens, and we've met them, and we're boogieing with them on the weekends. It could just mean these sightings have been some really cool aircraft we've come up with that we've kept classified this whole time. We're not saying that's true, but that's also a possibility.
Right.
Or
right.
As has been discussed on this very podcast before, the mistake is they're not aliens. They're reptilians. The original inhabitants.
That's true. I mean, they're just coming home.
We're the aliens,
Before we talk disclosure, let's talk a little bit of a history of disclosure. So the premise might be simple, but the history or the timeline or whatever you want to call it of involved parties isn't. I mean, it is intricate. It's like a spider's web. So we're going to try to break this down, I guess, the most basic level. There's lots of stories to tell, and we're going to try to weave you through the straightest way through as we can.
And we're not going to hit every one of them. Your favorite UFO story or your favorite disclosure moment might not be in here. But
we could make our own podcast called Disclosure, and we got a few hundred episodes we could fill.
That's exactly right.
Your studio would get blown up.
That's true.
Very quickly.
Oh, that's true.
Especially with some of the guests that we're going to have in part two giving us clips. Yeah, we might... We're on a list or two now, legitimately.
If after this episode, the next episode in our feed is like about bunny rabbits or something, you will know something happened.
Side note, I actually am on the CIA watch list for the rest of my life. And one of the courses I took in college, a book we had to buy, the disclaimer was, you don't have to buy this book because if you buy it, it actually puts you on the CIA watch list.
What is the book? Care to share?
I mean, do I dare? I'm not here to plug questionable items. That wasn't the point.
We probably are too.
That's
just
an offline thing.
Behold a pale horse.
Well, I just got excited and I'm like, I'm itching at my phone. I'm gonna buy that. That's not a question. Like, I'm gonna get that.
Side note: did you see that the government is now making a list of I guess what they would call influencers? So it could be celebrities, TV personalities, authors, and podcasters, and keeping track of everything they talk about.
Interesting. Well,
so we also are on a government
most
list.
Likely,
So the history of disclosure, Brent, has to start.
Let's pick a spot.
Somewhere in New Mexico, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, small town, Rodgingtonfieldville. No, Roswell. How about that's it. It was on the tip of my tongue. Roswell, New Mexico. That's a good place to start.
Rodgingtonfieldville. Isn't that your hometown, John?
Yes. That's exactly where I'm from. Yes, Roswell. Uh-huh. If you've listened to the show or have ever been moderately interested in UFOs, you've heard of Roswell.
Or, like me, you just love the early 2000s Roswell TV show.
I don't think anyone loved the early 2000s TV show Roswell.
Katherine Heigl vehicle.
Oh, God. What's she up to now? I'm sure it's being a valet, bussing tables. She kind of shot herself in the foot, you know. Turns out if you're a bitch to everyone, they don't like to cast you.
Allegedly.
Well, you know, allegedly, all the videos of her being a bitch are true. That TV show, though, either way, as a refresher, something crashed on Mac Brazel's farm. That's true. Something did. In early July 47, it was reported to have been a mess of metallic sticks held together with tape, chunks of plastic and tinfoil reflectors, scraps of heavy glass paper, like material, anything and everything. They've talked about it. Tinfoil that you could wrap up and crumple and it would pop right back into place, you know, like craziness.
I have heard that. Now, Brazel didn't know what it was, whether it was extraterrestrial in origin or no, so he did what any simple farmer would do after he heard there was a reward. He showed it to a local sheriff.
Yep, who in turn calls the local Army Air Force Base, as you do, you know?
And so they came out, they took all the stuff, and here's the weird
findings.
Part. The findings, yeah. And they issue a press release.
Yeah.
It's all wrapped up.
And they said nothing to see here, right?
Not exactly. Colonel William Blanchard, who, if you don't know Blanchard, he's also the one that designed the mission to drop the bomb on Hiroshima.
Yeah.
He actually had much bigger things in his career.
Yeah.
He was known for, but if you look him up on the internet, the only thing you will find is Roswell.
But he said something about it, though.
Yeah, so they put out a press release. I'll just read it to you. The many rumors regarding the flying disc became a reality yesterday when the intelligence office of the 509th Bomb Group out of the 8th Air Force Roswell Army Airfield was fortunate enough to gain possession of a disc through the cooperation of one of the local ranchers and sheriff's office of Chavez County. The flying object landed on a ranch near Roswell sometime last week. Not having phone facilities, the rancher stored the disc until such time as he was able to contact the sheriff's office, who in turn notified Major Jesse A. Marcel of the 509th Bomb Group Intelligence Office. Action was immediately taken, and the disc was picked up at the rancher's home. It was inspected at the Roswell Army Airfield and subsequently loaned by Major Marcel to higher headquarters.
No, so they just came right out and let us know, as they always do, here's the truth.
And
we lived happily ever after.
Well, those higher headquarters we were just talking about turned out to be Brigadier General Roger Ramey. He was the head of the 8th Army Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas, and he quickly pronounced that it was actually, you guys are idiots, it's a misidentified weather balloon.
The government stuck with the weather balloon story until 94, when they declassified most of the files on Project Mogul, and Project Mogul studied high-altitude balloons to carry low-frequency sound sensors into the troposphere, a faraway part of the Earth's atmosphere that acts as a kind of a sound channel, I guess you could say. And in this part of the atmosphere, sound waves can travel for thousands of miles without interference, much like under the ocean. So this is something they were working on. So according to the U.S. military, the debris in Brazel's field outside Roswell actually belonged to Project Mogul. And it was the remains of a 700-foot-long string of neoprene balloons, radar reflectors, and sonic equipment that the scientists had launched from the Alamogordo base in June.
It's the big balloon industry.
Yeah.
Yet again.
Big balloon
running things.
Down.
I feel like it's a Cressy the Clown situation.
Donald J.
Hey, kids.
Donald J. Mylar doesn't take prisoners. You know what I mean?
No, dude. Mylar is a titan of industry.
So this weather balloon story, flimsy though it was, you know, I think is an understatement, was the simplest and most plausible explanation.
Oh, wait, was that a pun?
With.
Was that a pun?
on short notice, as
old
you do.
Play on words hand.
No matter if you think it was aliens or Project Mogul or something else, here we find the beginnings of modern day fuckery. Right, John? Isn't that the way
to
put it?
Fuckery and deception. I mean, it has become business as usual for the government as it relates to UFOs.
Right.
No matter what these things actually are, the one thing you know is you'll never get a straight answer. Almost like that's an acronym for something. Never a straight answer.
No, it doesn't work out in my mind. Sorry.
Can't pick it up. Go on.
The government wasn't just going to lay lax to not at least look into these things, you know. So they had a few projects, because they love projects, that over the years looked into or developed into something else, looking into this UFO phenomenon.
Well, because two things happened. Roswell happened, and then also there was a sighting by a guy named Kenneth Arnold. If you aren't familiar with the story of Kenneth Arnold, it's probably a podcast for another day. But long story short, he is the first one to coin the term flying saucers.
Yeah.
Now, he says that they actually misquoted him, and he said they were saucer-shaped, but never actually called what he saw flying saucers.
Do you know why he's not a credible source? There are two reasons.
Firsty?
Yeah, two first names and Kenneth. No, dude. be Ken. Yeah. I don't have time to say two syllables all day long. You're Ken.
It's a valid point.
Kenny is also unacceptable as an alternative to Kenneth.
Kenneth was terrible.
Syllables.
If you look into his life, he was also a big ham radio operator, and he never could tune it right, so people are always talking to him. They're like, come on, what's the frequency, Kenneth? What's the frequency?
Did he carry around 6 pounds of weed at all times?
Hey, Kenneth, let me get a dime bag, Kenneth.
Did he tell everyone he met all about it?
It's medical.
All right. So kids. Based on those two stories, events, the government needed to figure out what was going on. They didn't know what to make of it. So they really wanted to make sure that it wasn't the Russians or reptilians.
Yeah,
well,
at the time, it wouldn't have even been the Russians. Like, this was USSR territory. Like,
yeah, the commie.
It was
a commie bastard.
This was a big deal, way beyond.
Well, they're still Russians.
Well, let me just go on record as saying, Putin, as much as he thinks he's a big timer, hey, bro, welcome to 2018. You're nothing. 30 years ago, if you were running the USSR, that was a big deal.
Take your shirt off and fight me.
He's a little man.
Take your shirt off and fight me.
And I'm saying that on the record because we all know he does download every episode of Hysteria 51. And I want him to know I will gladly fight him in a joust on bareback with our shirts off.
Now,
by
bareback, they mean jousting while riding
on
bears.
B-E-A-R. I'm in.
So,
I am in, Vlad.
To keep the Joe Peck counter going, so far you have challenged on this show a demon named Zozo, the leader of Russia, Putin. And
back at Congress Hotel, I literally challenged all of the spiritual worlds,
not just Zozo.
Got it.
The demon was at a separate time.
That was a different
Congress
one.
Hotel.
Yeah.
Who are you more intimidated by, the random spirits or Vladimir Putin?
Oh, the spirits, because when he said that, he goes, maybe I should have said that at the time. So I'm going to speak for him then.
I don't know. Frankly, right now, what's going through my head is, holy crap, I wouldn't put it past Russia to listen to every single podcast that exists.
Good point.
He'd be like, hey, Vlad, this some guy named Pecker is stepping up to the plate. And the fact of the matter is, he's actually kind of a badass dude.
I don't think they'll say that part.
I kind of don't want to fight him.
So they had to have a jumping off point where they're going to start looking into things. And the first one, Project Sign. So this Roswell incident, along with the quote unquote flying saucer by Kenneth, triggered a cavalcade of UFO incidents, spottings all across the country. Like you said, they didn't know what to do. So it was an official U.S. government study of unidentified flying objects, UFOs, the Project Sign. And it was undertaken by the United States Air Force and active for most of 1948. Not a huge time, but, you know, for most of that year. And in Sign's final report, published in early 49, stated that while some UFOs appeared to represent actual aircraft, there was not enough data to determine their origin. Meaning, I don't know.
Project Sign was kind of like a valiant effort. Like, The guy who ran it was an actual believer.
Was M. Night Shyamalan, right?
Yes. His name was Robert Snyder. He favored, after doing all of the research, this is afterwards, not beforehand, he favored the extraterrestrial hypothesis as the best explanation for UFO reports.
Because they have these trained aerial phenomenon people, at least at that time, looking at these things, and some of them are looking like planes, and they go, we don't know what that is. And some of them actually defied what we knew at that time as the laws of physics.
And we don't, nor does anyone else on this earth have the technological capabilities to do it.
You dumb bat. No, keep going.
That's why he favored the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Right. His superiors weren't as big a fans of that.
Yeah.
So
one of his superiors George
Tsoukalos?
Yes, he's actually he's an unaging.
He was like
forever.
You fool.
He's actually 678 years old.
79 as of last Tuesday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my bad. So they prepared what they called the Estimate of the Situation, which is just a great title for any paper.
Yeah, great title.
Also a great band title for all of those listeners out there that are aspiring musicians.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Or just a, I don't know about a band title. I think it'd be a better like first album. Yeah.
I know. It sounds like a drinking game when watching Jersey Shore. Estimate the Situation.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Leave it to Brent to kick in
that
like
happened.
Early 2000s pop culture.
And the podcast comes to a halt.
I would disagree with you on one point there, John. They did last year just release the reunion. So
that's true. It's on now. It's on now.
I don't want to talk to either one of you.
It doesn't make it okay. I'm not supporting Brent's usage.
So what'd they say? What'd they come up with?
Well, ultimately, his superiors rejected said hypothesis and said, hey, you know what? Let's just go ahead and dissolve this project sign.
This guy didn't say what we want.
So let's give it another try.
So they go, we're out. Next. And they go, well, you know what? We need a
new project.
Sign. How about Grudge? Because we didn't like that guy's fucking answers when he says aliens. And Project Grudge came about. You know, swing and a miss, try two.
And I think we have C-Bot said we have a clip from Project Grudge. No, C-Bot, not the crappy ring wannabe with Sarah Michelle Gellar. This was an actual project in the government.
Wish it was.
She is hot. She's held up well. You know?
That she has.
Her husband, though, when he quit acting, he wrote for the WWE.
Wait, that's kind of baller.
I actually agree with that. I'm cool with it.
You're okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
So, in UFOs, the Military, and the Early Cold War by Dr. Michael D. Swords.
That's S-words.
Thank you. He writes, inside the military, Major Aaron J. Boggs of the Pentagon and Colonel Harold Watson at Air Material Command were openly giving the impression that the whole flying saucer business was ridiculous.
Right.
Project Grudge became an exercise in derision and sloppy filing. Boggs was so enthusiastically anti-saucer that General Cable ordered General Moore to create a more proper atmosphere of skeptical respect for the reports and their observers.
Meaning they wouldn't even give it a fair shake. They were just pooping it. So Project Grudge issued its formal report in August of 49, and though over 600 pages long, it pretty much gets boiled down to a couple things. A, there's no evidence that objects reported upon are the results of an advanced scientific foreign development. And, therefore, they constitute no direct threat to national security. So in this view, it is recommended that the investigation and study of reports of unidentified flying objects be reduced in scope. Headquarters AMC Air Material Command will continue to investigate reports in which real technical applications are clearly indicated. And then they go on to note, it is apparent that further study along present lines would only confirm the findings presented herein, meaning anything else you do, you're just going to come back to this. It is further recommended that pertinent collection directives be revised to reflect the contemplated change in policy.
Now,
that's all A.
Now, that mentality, let's just say the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk had that mentality.
That is the best anyone will ever fly. Go eat a dick.
And well, the first time they've got like vertical wings and three of them pointed the wrong way. Huh. Well, that didn't work. I'm just going to assume that any other try that we would make at anything also won't work. Mm-hmm. Time to give up.
Yep.
Question. Are General Cable and General Moore, which iteration of the product involved General Mills and General Motors?
Yes, yeah. Yes. That is
they come into
that? That's Project Blue Book. We're not there.
Ah, got it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So then we go to B. It gets even better. All evidence and analysis indicate that reports of identified flying objects are the result of, one, misinterpretation of various conventional objects, two, a mild form of mass hysteria and war nerves.
Hello.
Three, individuals who fabricate such reports to perpetrate a hoax or to seek publicity, and four, psychopathological persons. So there is no room for
mild, guys. Yeah. A mild form.
Mild mass hysteria.
You don't know what you're seeing. You're crazy. You're a liar, or you're crazy.
Right. So not long after this was released, it was reported that Grudge would soon be dissolved. You don't say. Despite this announcement, Grudge was not quite finished. They weren't done. And a few personnel were still assigned to the project, and they aided the authors of a few more debunking of mass media articles. And then we get to the big daddy. Grudge goes away, and they go, we're not done yet.
The people that made Grudge go away had the right idea. There were people in the government that looked at this and said, okay, we're not exactly being objective here. It's one thing to put out some propaganda to help keep our motives hidden. It's another, why are we spending money on a research project that isn't researching?
So the problem is, sign they looked at it with a scientific, real scientific, look, and they go,
man, some of this stuff's questionable. Like, this actually might be aliens. They go, nope. And so they hire some people that are going to say what they want.
That's bad for business. Don't say that again.
So Harold Truman wanted nothing to do with this.
So they do Grudge, and Grudge goes, it's all fake, and they're idiots. And you go, well, we can't go that stern. Let's try one more time, because the third time's a charm. And what do we get out of that?
Project Sounds nice, make it thrice.
Yeah, Project Blue Book.
Now, if you're an amateur ufologist or just listen to a handful,
or a car enthusiast who wants to sell a vehicle,
that's true.
Yeah, the original colonel on it was Colonel Kelly.
Yes.
In his Blue Book. No.
Frankly, kind of like NASA, the most important things that we've developed from them are Tang and pens that write upside down.
That's true.
Project Blue Book gave rise to also the ability to price
tacos you can make in space. Have you seen the video?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they've got all the pouches.
John likes to watch these videos while he's recycling his own urine for drinking purposes.
What does that even
mean? That's really weird.
What do you think they do with their urine? They drink it in space.
No, but how does that relate to me?
Yeah, but why does that have anything to do with tacos?
I don't judge him and his hobbies. I'm just bringing it up.
I just want a taco right now.
You said, and I quote, nothing's off the table.
Fair. Fair.
So let's talk Project Blue Book, because we like spending money, right?
And
so,
Brent loves selling used cars.
That's true.
So and both of
that's
other,
actually a fact.
That is true. Both of these other projects lasted just a year,
or
maybe
less. Yeah.
You know,
this one
went
longer. Yeah. Tell us about it, John.
So according to Captain Edward J. Ruppelt, at the end of 1951, several high-ranking and very influential United States Air Force generals were so dissatisfied with the state of the investigations, kind of like we talked about with Grudge and with Sign, they replaced Grudge with Project Blue Book. And it had two stated goals.
And this was March of 52. So this about, you know, a few months later that they officially made this happen.
And those goals were to determine if UFOs were a threat to national security, and two, to scientifically analyze UFO-related data.
Which you would think would have been, you know, well, it was of Sign and of Grudge. They were going to do that. But Sign, like we said, didn't get the results they wanted. And Grudge tried to shape the results. So we're going to do it right this time.
And those are great. Those are great stated goals. I mean,
right. Absolutely. What you would
they want. Don't color one way or the other. Mm-hmm. It's just, let's take a look at this and see what comes out of it.
And they had a lot of stuff to look at to see what comes out of it. They had thousands of UFO reports that have been collected, analyzed, and filed. And as a result of the Condon report, which we'll get to, which concluded there was nothing anomalous about UFOs, Project Blue Book was ordered shut down in December of 69. So it went on for a long time.
17 years.
Yeah, and the Air Force continues to provide the following summary of all of its investigations in Blue Book.
No UFO reported, investigated, and evaluated by the Air Force was ever an indication of threat to our national security.
Really, really quick, I realize this may very well be, as John would typically say, because he uses this all the time, this might be table stakes for our listeners, but like I do think it's valuable to point out, like UFO, like that doesn't mean someone says, I report a UFO, which means they're saying this is an alien aircraft. It means there's a thing out there that I saw flying around. Right. It's an unidentified flying object. It doesn't necessarily, even though it applies it this day, when this was being reported and they're saying 2,500 or whatever it was, like instances of this, big piles of them were probably legitimately,
of course,
guys seeing something where it was like the sun was glinting off of a jet.
Or at this time, a whole hell of a lot of them were probably the SR-71 and Oxcart.
Yes. Yes, no. And then I'm not trying to be a party pooper here,
no,
but I do think it's meaningful to have that piece of the discussion that they're probably kind of right.
Isn't it interesting that they just flat out say none of them were ever in any way a threat to national security? I don't know about you, but I don't know for a fact that I'm going to be punched in the face. Mm-hmm. Until someone actually punches me
yes,
in the face.
Yes, and that was my point of bringing that up, is it's easy to say, oh, well, they're unexplained, but they're explained.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality is this is a stupid argument, because it's like one of two things is happening. One of three things. One, it's misidentified. Okay, fine. Lots of them probably are, except, and it's similar to some of the other, you know, mysteries that we've talked about on the show, but it's like, these pilots, these are dudes who, and then I say that realistically because in the 40s and 50s, it was all men, but like These are dudes who have seen a lot of stuff.
Right.
They know what's going on out there. And when they see something unexplained, they know the difference between, oh, whatever, like it was just something that looked kind of weird, or I've never seen anything like that in my life. To suddenly say, like, yeah, no, we've done research. No, there's no way this is a threat to us. It's either, is this like Russia coming up with, is the MiG like that we thought was cool, just the tip of the iceberg? Because we had F-16s. And they had no idea we had Blackbirds flying around up at, it, you know, 7,000 feet.
7,000? Well, a little higher. like 95,000, I think, was the ceiling on them feet.
95? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was they doubled down on it, too. They went on to say there was no evidence submitted to or discovered by the Air Force that sightings categorized as, quote unquote, unidentified represented technological developments or principles beyond the range of modern scientific knowledge.
Right.
And finally, said there is no evidence indicating that the sightings categorized as, quote unquote, unidentified were extraterrestrial vehicles.
So it's a no on all fronts there.
It's not technology that we don't know about. It's not ETs, and none of them ever had the possibility of hurting us. You can all go home and sleep safe tonight.
Weather
and
balloons,
watch Howdy
boys.
Duty.
It's big balloon. At it again.
What's interesting is by the time that this whole thing ended, Project Blue Book, it had collected 12,618 UFO reports and concluded that most of them were misidentification of natural phenomenon. Clouds, stars, swamp gas.
1981 Buick Grand Nationals.
Right? Yeah. Or conventional aircraft.
I actually prefer the GNX.
Oh.
Yeah.
According to the National Reconnaissance Office, a number of the reports could be explained by flights of formerly secret. Like I said, the U-2, the A-12 Oxcart, the SR-71 Blackbird, a small percentage of UFO reports were classified as unexplained, even after stringent analysis. So that kind of goes against what they said. But UFO reports were archived and are available under the Freedom of Information Act, so you kind of make up your own decision. But names and other personal information of all the witnesses have been redacted.
But Brent, there might be a reason that some of them went after stringent analysis, still unexplained, and yet they came to the conclusions that they did. Another member of the alphabet soup might have been involved. I'll give you a hint. It begins with a C and ends with an A.
Oh, COA, the co-op of no, that's just the CIA.
CNA? Oh, it's not NAMBLA.
Yeah, no, NAMBLA.
I know your fingers were crossed, Joe.
It's not NOMAM. So all of the organizations I'm familiar with don't fit this.
So it's funny because we look at all these things and they keep coming back to the same thing. The first one, well, there's things we can't explain. The second one, throw it out. You know, sign, okay, grudge, doesn't count. Then Blue Book, and they even come to findings of, well, there's things we can't explain, but don't look over here. We're just going to say it's everything's fine. Yeah, and it's nothing to see here.
But we're
exactly.
We're the CIA's actually
Hush, little
stewards.
Little baby, don't say a word. That thing's just the Blackbird.
Glad you guys are on the same page over there.
It's fine, dude. The X-Men use it. Yeah.
But
fine.
But here's the question. Was the CIA actually behind it all?
No, mon ami.
We're gonna check our mics for bugs, and we're gonna give you the real scoop on that after the break on Hysteria 51.
You should let me sing your tree rhymes more often on the show.
I don't even know why we need to check the mics. We know they're bugged at this point.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were gonna do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so it's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and There's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts. Your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days. Joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Like a broken record with the CIA crap, man, I swear to God. Or we're a broken podcast, that works. Oh, the CIA, gentlemen. They tend to keep their thumbs in as many pies as possible. Me too. I like pie. I'm a fat guy, so, you know, I try to have them around me at all times. They've been heavily involved in the UFO pie for sure, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Is that pie rhubarb?
You know what? A lot of people make rhubarb strawberry pie. Growing up, we just had rhubarb. I don't know if we...
Apple.
UFO pie and the CIA with their fingers in it. There's a few notable examples with committees formed to get to the bottom of the UFO hooey, one might say. And the first earlier committee was the Robertson Committee. It literally was created based on the recommendations of the CIA.
Of Oscar.
That's right. And mm-hmm. and the Robertson panel, they concluded that most UFO reports could be explained as misidentification of mundane aerial objects.
And I think everyone can agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
However,
but that doesn't. Yeah.
However, the remaining minority could, in all likelihood, be similarly explained with further study.
Yes.
So we don't know what they are, but if we studied them longer, they'd be mundane.
I agree with most of that, but not all of it. You know, as we've learned, you know, doing and looking into the things that we look at.
You might not agree with this next part. They then recommended that a public education campaign should be undertaken in order to reduce public interest in the subject, minimizing the risk of swamping air defense systems with reports at critical times, and that civilian UFO groups should be monitored.
Told you. I mean, that's us. We're a civilian UFO group.
We're bugs.
Yeah. So let's teach them to not be such looky-loos. Nothing to see over here, you looky-loos. And if you do see something, don't report it.
duck and cover, boys.
Yeah.
Duck and cover.
The Robertson panel's report was contained within a larger internal CIA report by F.C. Durant, a CIA officer who served as secretary to the panel, which summarizes the activities of the panels and its conclusions.
Doesn't that also sound like an early 20s actor? I'm F.C. Durant, see?
Yeah.
Hey there. Hey there, son. Here's a nickel. What news from Houston town?
Have you been on vaudeville yet? If you're not part of vaudeville, you're not part of entertainment, son.
Shoes for industry. Shoes for state. The wider document is commonly referred to as the Durant Report, not the Duran Duran Report, which is an album I just made up. But
isn't the Durant Report, about the Kevin NBA Durant. Finals this year?
But none of this killed Project Blue Book.
Yeah, you're right. None of it killed Blue Book. Enter the Condon Committee a few years later.
Yeah, so what we're getting at is, let's just teach people not to
get
care.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Right? Not to Isn't care. That what the Condon Committee is
Not
about?
To look yes. at these alien things and care, which is, you know, that's a scary thought process.
And obviously the Robertson panel was meant to kill all of this interest. It just didn't work.
Because we're 4 for 4 now.
Right, right. So
Intercondon.
The Condon Committee was the informal name of the University of Colorado UFO project. It was funded by the United States Air Force from 1966 to 1968 at the University of Colorado, and it was meant to study unidentified flying objects under the direction of physicist Edward Condon, hence the name. Now, the result of the work, formally titled Scientific Study of Unidentified Flying Objects, and also known as the Condon Report, appeared in 1968.
Yeah, the work they did. And after examining hundreds of UFO files from the Air Force's Project Blue Book and from civilian UFO groups, NICAP and Aerial Phenomena Research, APRO, NICAP is the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. We've talked about them before. And investigating sightings reported during the life of the project, the committee produced a final report that the study of UFOs was unlikely to yield major scientific discoveries.
Yawn.
Exactly. It's just a broken record.
That's exactly right. And their conclusions were generally welcomed by the scientific community and have been cited as a decisive factor in the generally low level of interest in UFO activity among academics since that time.
Because it becomes one of those things where, hey, I'm going to look into this. No. Like, we're going to cut your funding because we don't like that. Well, who's we? Not the CIA. Why'd you say it like that? Why? I don't get it.
And the more traditional scientists who think that if you say alien, extraterrestrial, UFO, it immediately is implausible. They welcomed this finding and have used it as ammunition against any of that ever since then.
But then you have other, you know, people like, you know, even like Carl Sagan and people like that. They go, well, let's look at this though. Is it really that absurd? Well, to the CIA, it was. Well, let me rephrase that. To the CIA's outfacing front, to the populace, it was.
So one guy who actually has been also referred to as the father of modern ufology, he was an astronomer named J. Allen Hynek. And he wrote that the Condon Report settled absolutely nothing. He called Condon's introduction, quote, singularly slanted, and wrote that it avoided mentioning that there were embedded within the bowels of the report a remaining mystery, that the committee had been unable to furnish adequate explanations for more than a quarter of the cases examined.
Which is spot on truth. And that is something that keeps coming back up. And we're forced to go all the way back to Project Sign, where they said, guess what? For the vast majority of these, nothing to see here. But there's a whole bunch that we can't figure out.
Right? Yeah. And here's the thing that they forgot to mention. They all forgot to mention that the study was covertly directed by the CIA.
Right.
And if you want proof of this, don't trust us. Go to the CIA's website, CIA.gov.
Mm-hmm.
And there is all kinds of information on it. Here, let me take a quote from their website. In April 1969, Condon and his committee released their report on the UFOs. The report concluded that little, if anything, had come from the study of the UFOs in the past 21 years and that further extensive study of UFO sightings was unwarranted. It also recommended that the Air Force Special Unit, Project Blue Book, be discontinued. It did not mention CIA participation in the Condon Committee's investigation.
Yeah, so we're just, oh no, we didn't have any hands in that. But you know what? We should probably just stop doing this and stop reporting it to the public.
There are other parts on that same page where it literally says the CIA said, hey, We don't want to be named in connection with this in any way, shape, or form.
This
we'll
is just
fund
the University
it.
Of Colorado.
Right. We'll fund it to the University of Colorado. The University of Colorado didn't even have designs on this. They were offered a grant to do it.
And if we don't, you die.
Wait, what?
What? Nothing. You don't get the grant.
Frog in my throat.
Why are you giggling?
They.
Oh, sorry. Just on the phone with University of Vermont. I don't know. They said no.
They make maple syrup.
Yeah.
The other thing that is not mentioned whenever people normally talk about this whole study is that when they needed help on the study for like extra photographs, the CIA conveniently provided those for them.
Referred them to Def Leppard.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
And hysteria ensued. And they looked at the photos and said, that's just pyromania.
Was this photo taken by a one-armed man?
Oh!
Ayo!
You're really drumming up the jokes here.
Hey! But
drumming?
In all seriousness, it was weird to me to be researching for this episode and, you know, search whatever random set of words I put into Google and see literally the CIA's website pop up. And not only pop up, but on the first page I click on, openly admit, yeah, we were behind that and we didn't want anyone to know.
Right. It's funny because, so we're talking about disclosure here and we're talking about all the different projects that have been done by the quote unquote government. The CIA has had a hand in all of them. The first one didn't go the way they wanted. The second one was too much of a poo-poo. Three and four, they were just, you know, smoke and mirrors. It's crazy to see the same thing happening over and over and over again, and they think it's going to get like a different response from the government. Isn't that to say,
so
what do they say when you do the same thing over and over again to expect a different
result? So it's basically like the X-Men film franchise?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
They just keep trying.
It just blows my mind that the same entity, now in this case it's the CIA and the powers of B, keep force feeding slop to someone and going, you'll like it, but I don't like it. No, you will. No, I won't.
I liked X-Men First Class. So, you're back on the UFO thing.
Side note, John did point everyone to CIA.gov, and I'm sure you're all looking at it right now, but if you want the truth, go to CIA.biz.
So you will not get any malware whatsoever.
No.
We bring all of this up because obviously it relates to unidentified flying objects, the government, and if they've chosen to disclose everything they know in the past. It's also worth pointing out that this is illustration, that this is proof of at least one arm of the United States government definitively taking a side and saying we are not going to disclose the truth or what we know to be the truth at this moment. Whether forget extraterrestrials, forget anything like that. There are truths that we know that we are choosing not to share with the general public, and this is proof of that. So when we talk about disclosure, it's not a question of would the federal government keep these things from us. Mm-hmm. We know for a fact that they would.
You got to look at it too, and like you're saying, going along with that, when some entity, being the CIA here, routinely and repeatedly filters in their own agenda to something, what are you hiding? Your mind has to go to, if you are shaping this so drastically to make sure that this one side of the story is told, what are you protecting? And that is, I think, that's the spark that fuels so many people in this whole thing when they're wanting disclosure and they feel like it's just BS time and time and time again, because the same powers that be, the same entities that, like we've talked, above the president, above these people, just say, you know what? It's not for you to know. Why? Well, you have 25% of it that you can't explain, but we could if we really tried. We're just not going to. Oh, and from now on, we're not allowed to. No one looks into this.
Well, and that's kind of the frustrating part, right? Is it's, to me, it's very similar. It's different in the details, but in the philosophy, it's similar to the cryptozoology argument of like, there are people, in this case, pilots, people who are significantly experienced people within the CIA, branches of the military, different things that are saying, you know what? I've been doing this a long time. Like, I've never seen anything quite like this. It's not that dissimilar to these, you know, indigenous groups of people in, say, the Pacific Northwest who are like, hey, we've lived out here a long time. There's some creature that exists out here that doesn't fit what we see all the time with bears. Or you think of, like, you know, the Sherpas in
Nepal.
Nepal, and they're like, look, when we're going up Everest, man, there's something up there that doesn't fit what we see all the time. Like, when you hear that enough, you have to wonder, like, wait a minute, why wouldn't someone be compelled to go study this as opposed to say, yeah, no, that's stupid. It must not be anything. A quarter of the sightings being unexplained, like, that's to right. me, like, if I had the know-how, if I was smart, which I'm not, I'd be like, I want to be part of this, man. Let's go figure out what which the heck is, this thing
think
is.
Of it this way. My basement keeps flooding. Well, 75% of it is just the drain. We can't really figure out where the rest of the water is. And I think if I kept looking, I could probably figure out, but we're not going to. Right. And you just live here now and deal with it.
So what we're all essentially saying is ulterior motives. Right. And that's great, right? A bunch of agency spooks influencing policy for their own motives.
That's the thing. Influencing policy. Exactly.
And so when we come back, we're going to hear it from the horse's mouth. What does a key military man have to say about this? What did the astronauts see, and what do they have to say about it? Next on Hysteria 51. On the show.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
That's the astronauts. Speaking of astronauts, right before
make
we break,
it so.
We said, what do astronauts have to say? There's a lot of quotes. This one's from Chris Hadfield. We've basically proven that every star has planets. He's a Canadian astronaut. And he has spent 4,000 hours in space. And he says, then you start doing the math. Then we got astronaut Jeff Hoffman.
It's Canadian, man. Their math is 0.78% ours. So I don't even know what the conversion rate is for that.
Astronaut Jeff Hoffman says, I believe there's life elsewhere in the universe. Bold statement. James McDivitt, while commanding Gemini 4 in 1965, also states he saw a UFO and actually took pics of it.
So this is an interesting story. If you're not familiar with this story, James McDivitt is the commander of the Gemini 4 mission. He's up there with one other guy, and they're just cruising around the Earth.
Hey, what's that?
And the other guy's asleep, and he looks down, and he sees an unidentified flying object under them. And he said it looked like it was keeping pace with them or in orbit with them. and he took a couple pictures of it. If you want to see a picture of it, maybe we'll throw it up in Hysteria Nation, but you could also just Google McDivitt photo. And I mean, there's a million explanations out there for it, both extraterrestrial and non-extraterrestrial, but it's an interesting photo nonetheless.
Go to google.biz to look up that photo.
I somehow bet that Google owns that one.
Buzz Aldrin says he saw one on Apollo 11, and we've actually got a clip there.
I saw this illumination that was moving with respect to the stars. We were smart enough to not say, Houston, there's a light out there that's following us. So technically, it becomes an unidentified flying object.
Now, it's another one where he comes back and says, yeah, it might have been the boosters separating or things like that. Didn't look like it at the time, but he's so wishy-washy.
It depends on what day you hear him on an interview. There are some interviews
don't you
where
feel like one day he's just going to be like, fuck it, here's the deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen him yell at the moon. Like, that's pretty amazing.
No, he's a ornery old man. I mean, he's an amazing guy, but it depends on the day. Like, you'll see one interview with him, and he'll be like, well, we don't know what that was. And other days he'll be like, I don't know what else it could have been.
Right. So these,
and then the other days is he just goes on rants about why he's cooler than Neil Armstrong, which is one of the best of all time.
So these are the veggies. There's not a lot of substance there. They're saying, yeah, you know, do the math. I've seen things. I don't know. Give us the meat, John. Like, there's got to be a better one than that.
Well, it was his nickname in high school, the meat. Edgar the Meat Mitchell.
Yeah.
I might have made that part up.
He went to Porky's High. So, yeah.
Oh, wait. I thought Brent's nickname was The Meat in high school.
It wasn't The Meat.
But only John called him that, which is the weirdest part of all of it.
Meat Wad. Meat Wad.
I'm a man. And if y'all need me, I'm going to be in the garage. Hanging sheetrock round an engine. I'm a bin. What about you, Interbagger?
Thanks, C-Bot. All right, so Mitchell, as I'm sure you're all well aware, was a member of some of the Apollo missions, a very well known and respected astronaut.
Yeah.
He publicly expressed his opinions that he was, quote, 90% sure that many of the thousands of unidentified flying objects or UFOs recorded since the 1940s belong to visitors from other planets.
Yeah, that's a strong statement. And here's some highlights of some of the shit he said throughout the years. In 2004, he told the St. Petersburg Times that a cabal of insiders in the U.S. government were studying recovered alien bodies, and this group has stopped briefing U.S. presidents after John F. Kennedy. Which makes sense, kind of.
Hey,
what
man,
we're talking
we saw
about.
We saw the top of his head fly off. We better just quit telling these guys.
No. Bush, man. Bush was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop that.
No, Kennedy was the last friend to NASA. He's the one who said, in the next 10 years, we'll go to the moon.
And do those other things.
And the other thing,
which
yeah.
we all know was discovering the Transformers.
I thought
the
it
dark
was
side
draining the swamp. I don't know.
I'm with Joe.
Did you guys
I'm with
not
Joe.
See
it was
the movie?
I said I'm with you. It was finding the Transformers.
He also
Michael
said,
Bay knows.
He also said, we all know that UFOs are real. Now the question is, where they come from. And then in July 23rd of 2008, Mitchell was interviewed on Kerrang Radio by Nick Margerrison, and Mitchell claimed that Roswell crash was real and that aliens have contacted humans several times, but the government has hidden the truth for 60 years, stating, quote, I happen to have been privileged enough to be in on the fact that we've been visited on this planet and the UFO phenomenon is real.
It says that they've reached out to us. It didn't say we reached out back. It's like the aliens are... Hello, is anyone there? Hey, Earth, this is our 17th voicemail. You need to pick up, you need to respond.
What did they say?
New government, who dis?
What did they say, John? Hello, is it me you're looking for?
So
I can see it in your eyes.
You can't say these things without NASA at least coming back. So in a reply, a spokesperson for NASA stated, NASA does not track UFOs. NASA is not involved in any sort of cover-up about alien life on this planet or anywhere in the universe. Dr. Mitchell is a great American, but we do not share his opinions on this issue. Wah. I don't know.
It sounds like getting broken up with by a girl. Like,
yeah.
He's a great American.
Well,
but we don't share. It's like, you're a great guy.
Yeah. You're batshit crazy, but.
All great Americans go on Fox News. So on July 25th of 2008, on Fox News, Mitchell clarified that comments.
You said that wrong. Only great Americans go on.
All great Americans go on there.
Right. But they don't go anywhere else, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
You can only go on Fox News if you're a great American. Gotcha.
Well, that's true.
So he clarified that his comments did not involve NASA, but quoted unnamed sources since deceased at Roswell who confirmed to him that the Roswell incident did involve an alien craft. And Mitchell also claims to have subsequently received confirmation from another unnamed intelligence officer at the Pentagon. So some other opinions he shared over the years in various interviews. John, what are some things he said?
It was aliens, not diplomacy, which prevented the Cold War from descending into the Third World War.
Mutants, not aliens, but we know.
Either way. No. White Sands is a testing ground for atomic weapons, and that's what the extraterrestrials were interested in.
As soon as we harnessed the power of the atom, they came and talked to us. That makes sense.
Yep. They wanted to know about our military capabilities. He said his own experience talking to people has made it clear to him that ETs had been attempting to keep us from going to war and help create peace on
Earth. Must have been those Andromedans. They're beings of light, not those pesky, you know, blue avians.
Hey, wow. Blue avians are nice too.
To you.
No,
obviously you haven't had the dealings I have.
They don't have time for nuclear war. They just want to touch our hearts and heal it with a light finger.
No, that dude was up to something. We talked about that.
Exactly. That was the initial cut of the movie. They changed it.
And finally,
this is my favorite part.
He even wanted to meet with the Clinton campaign when Hillary was running for office. He reached out to John Podesta because he wanted to discuss how, quote, zero-point energy from aliens could save the planet from global warming.
And you know John Podesta was like, go on, because that dude was, yeah.
But well, you also know why.
I've only got 20 minutes. I have a pizza to pick up.
Yeah. Right. You also know why he chose that campaign, as we've talked about on this very show, because Trump, it would be deaf ears, because he is not a reptilian president. He's the second.
Right, he's draining the swamp.
He's against the reptile.
Mama don't like tattletales.
We've talked about a lot of the quote-unquote disclosure throughout the years, and what have we gotten out of it? Not much. Not much. This is up to, but not including, the most recent batch of disclosure. But there's been some other thoughts of disclosure, you know, and some heavy hitters that we didn't really get into in this episode, and I think that's going to have to be next week.
And that is part two. Next week, we are going to talk about the current players in the game of disclosure.
We'll give you some names. DeLong.
Greer.
Luis Elizondo. Richard Doty. Paul Benowitz. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of things, and if these names don't ring a bell to you, there's some crazy stories we're going to go into next week on real disclosure. And also, we got some people on the show next week that are going to tell us their thoughts on disclosure. We've got Jeff Adamek, former Green Bay, the gentleman from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Yeah, they're going to hop on and give us their thoughts on disclosure and where it is today.
Yeah, we've got Rob from Our Strange Skies. He's going to give us his thoughts on disclosure. So we got a big, extra special episode for next week, and we wanted to get this stuff out of the way first because it's a long road, but it's interesting.
But you have to know where we've been if you want to know where we're going.
Yeah.
But what did we miss, Nation? What parts of the history of disclosure did we not touch on that we should have?
Tell us. And how can they tell us?
Hop on Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That is our discussion group, and that is where we talk about this
stuff. That's right. Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our normal page where you can find this episode, other episodes, and Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. Don't forget to go on Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51, not patreon.biz, Joe, I promise. We got a couple new supporters to mention. Lee Williams. Awesome. Can't thank you enough. Libby McDermott, Heather Probst, and Brad Tracy, you guys, we cannot thank you enough.
Thank you all so much. A special shout out to Brad Tracy.
Yeah.
We were talking
because he sent it to patreon.biz, which is actually John Goforth's direct bank account.
It is, and I appreciate it. We were talking about fine Americans earlier. Brad Tracy is a fine American, even though he has a firsty.
All right, and then voicemails. Don't forget you can hear yourself on the show, 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. And we just gave away our free t-shirt for hitting 400 reviews on iTunes. And you know what? We're probably going to do it again when we hit 600. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And when we hit 4,000, we're going to give away a brand new car.
Berater from an old pickup that I found outside.
Well, I didn't say how big the car was. Yeah, it's a Matchbox.
By the way, can I just mention, as an outsider who's
no,
not welcome on the show ever, like I don't know who you guys paid off to create your Hysteria 51 logo, because it definitely wasn't you two, because you're dorks. But like, holy crap, it's a cool T-shirt. Like, you guys, you guys crushed it. I tell you,
and you know, you don't just have to get that one. We got lots of T-shirts, and I'll thank you. I came up with that logo, Joe.
And
you're welcome.
I will also point out there is a Pecker T-shirt available.
There is
shameless plug.
There's also
an
electric Sasquatch.
Feel free to get the set of pins, lapel pins that include myself.
You can find all those T-shirts, links to those pins, everything on Hysteria51.com, as well as all the other links in case you forget those things. So don't forget, tell a friend about the show, give us a review, and tell your friends how awesome Joe Peck was on this episode.
Mm. Yeah. Let's see if we can get enough groundswell to have you back.
You don't even have to say that. It's going to happen.
It is. You know, they say, you know, charity is the best, you know, so we threw him some charity and had him back.
Yeah, I mean, it's very nice of you.
The
problem is
donation.
I mean, John less so, but certainly Brent, you know, it's the jealousy. It's the jealousy. He wishes he got called out.
It reminds me of my favorite Gin Blossom song, Hey Jealousy.
Joe, she's so mean to you. Producer Lisa in the booth isn't even rolling her eyes. She's just smiling and plugging away.
And
because she agrees. Yeah.
All right, kids, make sure and tune in next week for our follow-up on this episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.